Morning, everyone. It's a bit odd for me to be preaching here for the last 18 months or so. We've been doing it online, so it's back to the previous. So today what we're going to look at together is how Jesus fulfilled a messianic prophecy seen in the Old Testament. Now, if we look in the Old Testament first of all, we see that there's 12 individuals healed by prophets that specifically mentioned. There may have been others, but they're the ones that are specifically mentioned. There are three references to groups of people being healed by prophets and three people healed by God. In the New Testament, we see 31 reported incidents of Jesus healing people and 8 reported incidents of disciples healing people. So we have 55 recorded incidents of miraculous healings in 4,000 years. So I think it's fair to say that miraculous healings occur rarely. I expect you, like me, have prayed for others and for yourself that they might be healed and restored. And you, like me, have seen sometimes that the healing that we've asked for isn't happening or hasn't happened. And so we may well start to reflect on this and think, well, actually, is it that God, Jesus, isn't listening to my prayers? Or he's just not answering my prayers? Or that I'm not important enough for him to answer my prayers? He's answering other people's prayers first. Or that I'm not praying correctly? Well, I'll be honest with you, all that is rubbish. That is not true. God provides healing to us all daily, but usually not the complete cure that we've asked for, the total healing that we want. I think we need to reflect on the fact that God brings healing through healthcare professionals every day, through the use of medication, treatments, care, and therapies that we have access to. And we need to be encouraging each other and ourselves to access all of this provision, because through it, God heals, as well as praying for ourselves and for others. And remember that other people across the world who don't have the access to the healthcare provision that we have, many of them just have to rely on God. And I think what we have to be honest about is that we receive answers to our prayers around healing every day, but often we don't recognize it immediately, or sometimes not at all. But the reality is that we are blessed by God, even in the midst of trials, tribulations, and suffering. So when I was preparing this talk, I thought, what do we need to do? I always think we have to ask ourselves what we need to seek from God. So the question really is, we need to ask why our prayers are not always answered. And I would suggest the first reason why our prayers aren't answered is because what we do when we pray is we tell God what we want. We know the answer to this, and this is what I want you to provide me with. Rather than sharing the problems or the issues with God and allowing him to answer our prayers. I think we have to recognize that God's plans are complex, more complex than we're able to understand. And the reality is that some will be healed of disease, suffering, and disability, and some will not. The next reason I think that all of our prayers around healing aren't answered is if God answered all the prayers and we're all healed of the things we're praying for healing from, some people may become Christians for the wrong reason. The reality is if you prayed to God and you were healed, then everybody would want to be a Christian because everyone would want to be healed. And also most of us as Christians would never die because we keep praying and we keep getting our prayers answered. So as I said, miraculous healings occur very rarely. So I think we now need to ask ourselves why these 55 recorded miraculous healings took place over these 4,000 years. And I would suggest to you that they took place so that God could demonstrate the power he had at significant times in time. When Jesus healed some of the recorded 31 people, he was not only demonstrating his unlimited and unconditional love and compassion for those people he healed and for their families, carers and friends, but he was demonstrating his messiahship. He was fulfilling the following Old Testament prophecy seen in Isaiah called the Servant King passages, which I'm going to ask Gordon to read, please.
This is in the New Living Bible version. It's Isaiah 35, 5 to 6. He will open the eyes of the blind and unstop the ears of the deaf. The lame man will leap up like a deer, and those who could not speak will shout and sing. In Isaiah 29, 18. In that day, the deaf will hear the words of a book, and out of their gloom and darkness, the blind will see my plans. In Isaiah 61, 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the suffering and afflicted. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted, to announce liberty to captives, and to open the eyes of the blind.
Thank you, Gordon. And I'm sure many of you will know that the final reading that Gordon just read, Isaiah 61:1, Jesus shares in the synagogue in Nazareth in Luke chapter 4, 18 to 19, following his 40 days in the wilderness. So he's telling people, you know, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. So he's declaring who he is. Now, the reality is that the miraculous healings that we hear about here in Isaiah, the blind having sight, the deaf hearing, the lame or the disabled getting free movement, the dumb getting a voice, and the sharing of the good news with the poor. And of course, Jesus is the good news, so he can't be shared with people until he's born. All of these things do not happen in the Old Testament. The healings in the Old Testament, there is never anybody that's healed of blindness, deafness, dumbness, lameness. And as I've said, the good news can't be shared. So the thing that Jesus does as he does these things demonstrates his messiahship. It fulfills the words of Isaiah. So let's move to the New Testament. John the Baptist is in prison, and he's heard about the healings Jesus has completed, but he's in bewilderment as to whether Jesus is actually the Messiah. So what he does is he sends two disciples to Jesus to ask Jesus whether he's the Messiah. And the reference for this is Luke chapter 7, 18 to 19. The disciples of John the Baptist told him about all these things. John called two of these followers and sent them to the master with this message: are you the coming one, or should we expect somebody else? And in Luke chapter 7, verse 22, Jesus shares with the disciples of John the Baptist that actually he is the Messiah. He is fulfilling the Old Testament prophecy seen in Isaiah. And he tells them, then he answers them, go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind see, the lame walk, the people with virulent skin conditions are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor hear the gospel. So I think it's important for us to look at the evidence of this. Where is the evidence that Jesus did this? So what I'm going to do is to ask Judith, please, if she would read Matthew 9, 27 to 30 for me, please. Thank you, Judith.
As Jesus was leaving the area, two blind men shouting, have pity on us, son of David, at the tops of their voices. Jesus went into the house, and blind men came to him. Do you believe that I can do this? Yes, Master, they replied. Then Jesus touched their eyes. As you have believed, so let it happen, he said, and their eyes were opened. Then Jesus gave them a stern warning. Take good care, he said, that nobody gets to know about this.
Thank you, Judith. So an example of two men who are blind being healed by Jesus. And as I said, this is the first time this sort of healing is taking place. Didn't take place in the Old Testament. I'm now going to ask Margaret if she'd read Matthew 9, 1 to 8 for me, please.
Jesus got into the boat and crossed back over to his own town. Some people brought to him a paralyzed man lying on the bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, cheer up, my son, your sins are forgiven. This fellow's blasphemy themselves, Jesus read their thoughts. Why let all this wickedness fester in your hearts? He said, which is easier, to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But to let you know that the Son of Man has authority on heaven, on earth, to forgive sins, he spoke to the paralyzed man, get up, pick up your bed and go home. And he got up and went to his home. When the crowd saw it, they were frightened and praised God for giving authority like this to humans.
Thank you, Margaret. I want you to remember the last sentence that Margaret's just read, because later on I'm going to refer back to it. When the crowd saw it, they were frightened and praised God for giving authority like this to humans. But again, a really good example, this man's friends have taken him to Jesus, believing that Jesus can heal his lameness. And I'm going to ask Judith to read again for me, please, Matthew 9, 32 to 33. Now, it's interesting because what we don't know is whether this man who's described as demon-possessed was deaf and or dumb, or was dumb and deaf, because the reality is, in Hebrew, deaf and mute, they use the same word. So it's a possibility that this man was either deaf or dumb, or deaf and dumb. But again, we see Jesus bringing about miraculous healings here. So finally, I'm going to ask Margaret to read Matthew 9, 35 to 36 for me, please, as the final piece of evidence.
Jesus travelled around through all the cities and villages of that area, teaching in the Jewish synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And wherever he went, he healed people of every sort of illness. And what a pity he felt for the crowds that came, because their problems were so great and they didn't know what to do or where to go for help. They were like sheep without a shepherd.
Thank you. Like sheep without a shepherd. Now, clearly, we are not sheep without a shepherd, because we know the shepherd. We know God. But you can feel, can't you, the compassion and the love that Jesus has for these people, because he's describing them as, their problems are so great. So what he's doing is he's sharing himself, he's sharing the good news with them. So this, therefore, as I said, fulfills this prophecy from Isaiah. And I think it demonstrates to us that Jesus heals the needy. These people that we just heard about are not special people in the society of those days. He heals the needy. He was and he is still just. And everybody is worthy. So going back to what I was talking about in my own thoughts around why prayers might not be answered, that I may not be important enough, clearly that isn't true. And I think what we have to recognise is that when Jesus came and defeated evil and death on the cross, there was a change in regard to the means by which God brings healing about. Because the reality is that after Pentecost, Jesus lives inside the disciples in the form of the Holy Spirit. Now, we are all disciples. You and me are disciples. The Holy Spirit is living inside us. So we're able to be used by God as vessels through which he can bring about healing. So we need to remember that, because some of us here may doubt that actually we can be a source of healing. We may doubt that we've got the gifts. We may doubt, you may say, well, actually, I've prayed lots of times and nothing's happened. Things have happened, but we just haven't recognised them. But the reality is we are all vessels through which God can bring about healing. And of course, after Pentecost, the disciples are expected to carry on the work of Jesus. And we see this for the first time in Acts 3, verses 1 to 8. And Trudy's agreed to read this for us. Trudy, thank you.
One called the beautiful. custom every day. As Peter and John were passing by, he asked them for some money. They looked at him intently, and then Peter said, "Look here." The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting a gift. But Peter said, "We don't have any money for you, but I give you something else. I command you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Then Peter took the lame man by the hand and pulled him to his feet. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles, bones were healed and strengthened, so that he came up with a leap, stood there a moment and began walking. Then walking, leaping, leaping and praising God, he went into the temple.
Thank you, Judy. I wonder how difficult it was for Peter and John to say to this man, "We have a gift for you, and you know, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, walk." It was quite a courageous thing to do. What were they going to do if the man stayed on the floor? But obviously they had the belief. They'd seen Jesus do it, and they had the belief that they could do it. And that's the belief we all have to have, because we, like them, we've seen Jesus. We may not have been with him, but we're able to read the Bible. We've read some pieces of scripture where we see what Jesus has done in his healing ministry. And I think what we need to do is we need to have that same faith. And we need to recognise not only is this man now able to walk, which many of us take for granted, but not only can he walk, but this is the first time that he can actually enter the temple proper. The temple had lots of rooms, but to actually go into the temple, the place of praise, you had to be physically fit and you had to be a man. So for the first time, as it says, he ran, he leaped and he praised God, and he went into the temple with them. This is the first time he's been able to do that. What a blessing for this man. So the question I have for you is, do we see God using disciples healing each other today? And I want to share with you something that I experienced last Friday. I'm a volunteer at the Living Well, and we had a deeper healing day, and we had a number of people that had come to the day to seek the beginnings of their healing path. And what we do is, in the morning we have an open session of praise and prayer, and then people spend individually time with people, listening to them and helping them look at ways in which they might begin their healing journey. We then have lunch, we pray with people individually, and then we all come back together again at the end of the day. During the prayer ministry in the afternoon, with two of the people that were there, myself and the other person I was praying with, we chose to use water as part of the prayer. The first one was to refresh somebody, and the other reason for using the water was to wash away her past. And what was incredible was that in the closing service, one of the ladies said that what she'd seen in the morning, during the morning worship, is that the chapel has a door on the right-hand side. And she said that during the service, the door was opened, and she saw Jesus come through the door, and she explained his robes and who he was. And she says she saw him anoint everyone in the room, and then he washed the feet of the two people who'd we'd used water with that afternoon. And she'd drawn a picture of it and was able to give that picture to the other lady. So not only had she, both of them been healed, in a sense, through the day, but actually both of them were healed. They healed, well, in a sense, the lady with the picture carried on the healing journey for the other lady, because she now realised just how significant that water was. And what was incredible for me was that in the morning, when this lady saw Jesus come into the room, that she didn't share it. It was as though she wasn't meant to until the afternoon. But it was clear there that you know, they were blessing one another. They were sharing what they'd seen. And I've been reflecting on that now for 10 days. It was just such a privilege to be there and just to see God at work. So what hopefully we've seen this morning is that in Jesus' ministry, the Isaiah prophecy of his Masonic healing was fulfilled in a powerful and compassionate way. Not only is he able to heal, his disciples are able to heal, and we're able to heal. though there still remains suffering in our world at the present time. And I think going back to John the Baptist, what we have to remember is that when John the Baptist was trying to find out whether Jesus was this promised Messiah, he was actually imprisoned. And as we know, not long after that, he's beheaded. Now, Jesus doesn't step in here. He doesn't stop that happening to John the Baptist, because it's part of God's complex plan. But the reality is that the miraculous healings of Jesus show us that the kingdom of God has come, but not yet fully. That'll happen after the second coming of Jesus on the new heaven and the new earth. So it's something to look forward to. But the reality is we have to be prepared and willing to pray for people and not feel discouraged if healing doesn't happen immediately. Just recognise that God is in everything. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen.
What I'd like us to do, in a moment we're going to pray together. And I know that Anne has prepared some